behind the screen. There's a world of pure imagination behind the screen.
Long-running open mic. I'm sure you've heard of it.
No, I've heard of it, definitely. Yeah.
So, okay, so he gets introduced. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Victor Champion. That's his name.
Okay.
Hey, I was driving over here, and I saw this sign that said, In Road Construction. And I thought, that's a cause I can get behind. All right, good night, everybody.
One bit.
And that's it. One terrible,
awful bit. That's what he wants me to do.
Why Victor Champion? Because it's redundant?
Because I want him to have some crazy Hollywood name, like he's one of those dicks who made up a, you know. Or is it better if he's one of those guys who's got a one name, like Q or whatever?
I always think that's funnier. But the one name should be Danny. or Eddie or something.
What about just Champion?
Champion.
Like cut off the Victor and just be champion. That's or champ.
Fun. Yeah.
The champ.
Or Vince Champ. Call yourself Vince Champ. Famous comedian / rapist. That's a real guy, by the way.
Oh, was he the guy who did all the colleges and the rape college girls?
Oh, yeah. He's got into NACA and did all that through them, right? That's right. Where he did that?
And he would rape a girl every campus he was on. All right, let's start. Hey, everybody, this is Paul Goble. Welcome to the Paul Goble Show.
You're not going
to
leave that yet.
I might. Why not?
Oh, jeez.
Because when I tag this,
it's always
Vince
good when
Champ,
you open with rape.
Get all the hits.
Yeah, all the hits. People searching for Vince Champ will go, oh, these guys talked about him. I got to get in on this. I'm Paul Goble, not Vince Champ, although we got a lot in common. We're both comedians. We've both done time. And I'm here with my best friend and co-host, Jim Bruce.
Hey, everybody. Good to be here, of course.
And also our, Jim's best friend and co-host, Victor Champion, is here.
Hello.
AKA Tom Griffin. Off stage, he's known as Tom Griffin. Yeah. Victor Champion, would you say it's your stage name or your pseudonym?
It's the real me.
Oh, that's the real you.
Oh.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
No, I understand you saw something funny on the right over here.
And our guest today is a very funny comedian who's here for the first time. Mr. Brent Weinbach is here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. Brent is what you might call an up-and-coming young comic, because he's not a guy who's famous on TV and stuff, but he's super funny. And weren't you at Just for Laughs or something?
I did Just for Laughs a couple of years ago.
Okay, yeah. So he's one of those guys that every once in a while someone puts out a list of comics to watch, and Brent's on it. He's super funny.
I thought I'd save this story for on the show rather than I first showed up here. But
well, that's good because these guys dummies were late 20 minutes. I bet that was hard to do.
I was trying to hold back on the story actually. No, but I just the first time when I first was getting involved in comedy, I remember the first time I went to the Improv to see a show. It was in 1999, and you were hosting.
Oh, I used to host a lot back in the old days. Yeah.
And it was an interesting show for me because, in retrospect, because it was you and four other comedians, I think, on the show, and I didn't know people's names at that time. Like, I just didn't know a lot of people's names. And as the years went by, I started to either have an interaction with one of the people on the show, and I would refer to that show and just think, oh, that was that guy from that show. Right. So, the first name that I became aware of was Mario Joyner, who was on the show.
Okay.
And he closed it out. And I didn't – are you going to tag that too?
Oh, yeah. Any name that's ever on the show, I write
and
down
then,
and tag
it. And so – but it was funny because actually before I had gone to that show at the Improv, I was a big fan of the movie Hanging with the Homeboys, if you know – I don't know.
Oh,
if
yeah.
Know that
I
movie
love that movie. But him and John Leguizamo.
Yeah, and Dougie Doug is in it.
Right.
And
write that down.
Oh, right. Dougie Doug, and John Leguizamo, and Hanging with the Homeboys,
yes,
and
Dougie Doug,
was it Motley Crue that who does Dr. Feelgood?
Yeah, Crue
is Motley Crue.
The
yeah.
Crue, yeah,
yeah. So that was like a I think it was like Onyx meets Motley Crue. Anyway, like and it was
Holy
like
shit.
It was Hanging with the Homeboys with the music of Dr. Feelgood. Anyway, so it was So Mario Joyner, and it was weird. I was like, oh, actually, that was the guy from Hanging with the Homeboys, and I liked that movie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so then I became aware of him. Then this was like actually just a few years ago. I remember at that show, a comic who went on and started playing the beginning of Benny and the Jets, and I always remember that, and I didn't really remember any of his other jokes, and then I just thought, who was that guy? And then I did the show, like, it was like a couple years ago, Wayne Fetterman went on stage, and I'd seen him before, but he did the beginning of Benny and the Jets, mm-hmm. and then he did his act, and I was like, that was the guy! That was the guy from, that's another tag for you! Was the guy at that show! And then, and also in the course of the last 11 years or whatever, you know, there was a show that I did that you were on also, and I was like, right. Oh, that's the guy who hosted the show and stuff. Right. And then, but the one person I haven't been able, I think there's one other guy, and then there's one guy I remember who I thought was really funny that night, who I've never seen him since or, you know, become aware of him. Maybe you can help me out.
Sure. I'll hook you guys up.
But he was a very tall guy. He had kind of a baby face, though.
Okay.
He had black hair. Like, very black hair, uh-huh. and but tall guy, white guy, and he had a bit where he recreated a whole Def Jam like a Def Jam show.
Right.
Like, he had this whole, and it was the show you hosted, so I don't know, maybe you remember.
I think it's Andy Campbell. I think that's what you're
Andy
talking
Campbell.
About.
Andy Campbell.
Well. Who's not, he's really tall, and he's very young, at least back then he was really young,
yeah.
and black hair, and I think the bit was where he would talk about Def Jam thing, but then talk about how a white guy would be on it, and... Like, he would, and it'd be like how he was stupid at being a white guy on it.
Well, yeah, and then he did, like, an impression of the host character. Like, mm-hmm. it was a host character, and then he introduced, like, the other character who was, like, you know, more of a typical person you'd see on Def Jam.
Right.
And then I didn't remember where the joke went after that, or the bit went after that, but it might have been the white guy goes on, too.
Just in case that's not the comedian, should we just say a bunch of names? Like, I don't know, Sam Kinison, Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah.
Then we get a lot of tags
Yeah,
Bruce Lee.
Just in case. That could be my stage.
Just in case.
Yeah, that's... Dude, that's your name. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, get over for just in case.
Did you say so his name is Andy what?
Andy Campbell.
Andy Campbell. Yeah. I want to look that up, because I'm curious if that will be...
Well, I've seen... I, he's not... Again, he hasn't, like, hit the big time or whatever, but I've seen him around.
Is he still around? I mean, does he do
so? I thought... I mean, at the time... You know, this is, you know, how old were you at the time?
21, like 20.
Yeah, so he was probably just a little bit older than that. So he was just getting started.
This isn't one of those guys that got sick. Because I remember you talked about some awesome guy you did comedy with, and then the reason he didn't go anywhere is because he got sick.
No. Who is that?
Some story you told me, Abraham Lincoln.
Write it down. He was sick? I didn't even know he died.
Yeah, bullet poisoning.
You talking about, like, Freddie Soto or Mitch Mullaney? Maybe that's who.
That might be who I was thinking of.
Yeah, he got. Apparently, this is what I just found out the other day, because Chip Chinnery is good friends with Mitch Mullaney. He died because he had diabetes.
Wow.
And didn't treat it. Just said, "Ah, fuck it."
Oh well.
And let it kill him, basically. Yeah. Which is kind of odd, because if a guy gets cancer, you know, sometimes you can, and he goes, "Fuck it." You know, and that's cancer, kill him. You can kind of get behind that, because it's hard to beat cancer. And sometimes it's like, what is your quality of life? But if you're trying to manage your diabetes, you can have a pretty good life. You know, not eating sugar and taking insulin. It's not that bad. But he went, fuck it. I think because he was an alcoholic. That's my own personal thing. Because I used to see him at the Improv drunk off his ass. With like six ladies.
Then you can still have sympathy, because that's two diseases, and
that's true. And the one disease just exacerbated the other one.
Yeah.
Is that how you say that word?
No, but
reasonably close.
Well, I'm drunk right now, so that's the best I can do.
And you have diabetes.
And I have the beatus. Yep, I got the beatus. That's funny that you bring
that up.
Well,
anyway, it was just interesting how these got these. These people I saw on the show,
the Beatus.
All of a sudden, like, I started to know who they were more. Right. And, like, it was just kind of an interesting reference point. Like, that was the first show I went to at the Improv. And it was actually the first, I think that was the first time I went to a comedy club, actually.
Yeah.
And,
who was the other guy?
I just have any idea. I just remember vaguely what the other people looked like.
Okay.
And what they did, kind of, and then, but that's it.
It was funny, because...
I remember I was there with my sister, who's a couple years younger than me, and we look young for our age.
Uh-huh.
In general, we're half Asian, and I don't know, I think that probably makes us look kind of younger.
Probably.
But, and, you know, your thing was you were just asking the audience to try to stump you.
Right.
About TV. So, You know, and then I would never want to, like, say anything during a comedy show and want, like, a comedian to call attention to me in any way. My sister was, like, raised her hand to try to stump you or whatever.
Yeah.
And she had this question about, and I was kind of really embarrassed about it, actually, but she had this question about a cartoon, and you were open to cartoon questions, too.
Right.
And it was about Beetlejuice, the cartoon.
Sure.
It was a cartoon based on the movie, obviously, and then, and it was some question, I don't even know what the question was, but it was about that, and you didn't know the answer to it, actually, but you did say, first of all, I need to see some ID, and then you said, and then I don't know, you didn't end up answering the question, but I was kind of, like, embarrassed about the whole situation and stuff.
That was part of the show.
Yeah.
That was all part of the show back then. But it's funny, because when, you know, I'm sure it was a Friday or a Saturday, and they used to do two shows. I'm sure they still do, but they do two shows, and sometimes...
I think it was Thursday, actually.
Okay. Sometimes they would have... The comics they would have on would be guys they would give a lot of time to, like a Mario Joyner or a Wayne Fetterman. They give them, like, 10 minutes, so there would only be a few comics on the bill because that would be the whole show.
Yeah.
And I actually loved that because I only had to introduce a few people. I didn't have to be in the room the whole time. But then it would get ruined because then somebody like Damon Wayans would show up and do 40 minutes
right.
that I literally had to be in there the whole time because you never knew when he was going to get off.
Right.
And I had to stand and be at the back of the room until he went, all right, I'm done. And that was a fucking nightmare. Sometimes it was great because it would be, you know, Jerry Seinfeld or Arsenio Hall or something or Chris Rock. And and everybody's packed in there to see him. But fucking Damon Wayans on a Thursday night, eventually people are leaving. And, of course, the great time that Michael Richards cleared the room, that was a classic.
It is kind of cool if you're hosting a show and someone, like, really big comes in and then you to introduce
like
them.
Like tall, right?
Yeah, someone who's like not just tall but also, like, muscular.
Like kind of like built.
They're ripped.
Yeah, yeah. I love
that. Because you just like to show – it's like you get to showcase. Look at this prize package. look at this prize fighter comedian.
I don't know. I was at a club one time and a champion came in and that guy
– Vic Champion?
Yeah, Vic Champion.
Vic Champion. Yeah,
that guy's cut.
One time – it's funny because at the Improv – you know, that's one of the, that was really the only perk. I mean, aside from that, you got paid more than the other comics. The host would get paid more, which was nice.
It's actually how it should be.
It is how it should be because you're doing more
work. That's the hardest job. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so, you would get paid like $35.
Actually, I've never understood, in a normal, like not Los Angeles or New York format, but in a normal sort of club format in anywhere else in the country, it's like the host is the least known person.
Right.
And then featuring the headliner. And it's like, why? I always thought that the headliner should host it because, like, the most well-known person who has already, like, maybe a rapport with the crowd already can get the show going.
They
come out and go, hey, how's
everybody doing? And then, he fucks around and welcomes the crowd and goes, then, here's my friends.
Yeah, check out these guys. Yep. Then those guys have a lot easier time. They don't have to, like, start from zero and try to build up a crowd or build up a rapport. And then, you know, the headliner can like host the show but also close it out also.
And then at the end he does his act.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
of course the reason that doesn't happen because that's actually a great idea, but the reason it probably doesn't happen is because the headliners don't want to probably.
Well, yeah, sure. And also they have to be there the whole time and they don't want to do that.
And it also takes away from like sort of the rock star aspect of it where the crowd is waiting to see the headlining act. And if you kind of blow that load right up top, that kind of takes away from that aspect of it. But I think true. I would personally sacrifice that aspect to
even like at a concert. Like think about the if fucking Motley Crue or just one dude from Motley Crue, Vince Neil came out at a Motley Crue concert and said, "How's everybody doing?" And everybody goes ape shit, and he goes, "Hey, we're gonna be out here in a little bit, but before we do, I want you to listen to our friends. You know, these guys who are opening for us." Everybody would love that.
Four non-blondes,
right. Or even if it's a comic, because that's the worst gig.
So this concert is in 91.
Especially, that's actually a thing. Especially if comedians are opening for bands, it's like, if the band came out first and been like, "Look, we want you guys to check this guy. We think he's really funny and we want to share him with you guys." Boom. Now the comic is going to have an easy time because the crowd is already like, "Oh, these guys like
him." I remember one time I was watching the MTV Video Awards or something, and Snoop Dogg came out and introduced Dane Cook.
So many tags on this episode.
Yeah.
too many names. But I was like, because I knew who Dane Cook was, but he wasn't super famous yet. But I thought that's the only way they could get people to listen to Dane Cook is have Snoop Dogg come out and go, "Yeah, this guy's my nizzle," and blah blah blah, and everybody listened to him. And
y'all
they
know
did.
He's gonna be funny.
He never seen him before. Too.
What did he say?
Y'all know he's gonna be funny.
Wow. You know what? I know there was nothing overt in it, and he didn't mean it, but that was racist. I don't know how you made that racist.
Hey, it was overt.
What?
What?
You're dumb.
What's the guy's name again? Andy what?
Snoop Dogg.
Andy Campbell. Andy Campbell.
Andy Campbell.
Yes, like okay. Campbell.
Sorry,
soup.
I just, when you said that, it made me think of Andy Campbell because it was like a recreation of something. Recreation of an urban
accent. But the good thing about being at the Improv and hosting, aside from getting more money, was sometimes that would happen. Chris Rock would show up or Jerry Seinfeld would show up and I would get to introduce them.
Yeah, that's a
which
cool feeling.
Was funny and it was nice and I'd get to shake their hand and stuff. But then I would also get to give them a funny introduction also. Like I said for Chris Rock, I said, this next guy, he was one of the writers of the Chris Rock Show. Let's give it up for Chris Rock.
Oh, that's funny. That's
and like when Seinfeld was on, it was, you know, right after the show ended and it was the next TV season. I said, this next guy recently retired from comedy, but he's here to do some time for you. And it was Jerry Seinfeld. And the cool thing about that was he had just started doing that comedian movie. So he was doing jokes from that particular set. I remember him doing, I remember watching Comedian and going, oh, those were jokes that he did that night. And that was kind of fun. One time, Jay Moore was there, and I was like, and I wanted to introduce him, I wanted to name this shitty show he was on Fox, not Action, but this other show he was on, I couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
It was called Local Heroes, but I was like, what was that show you did on Fox that was really shitty? And he goes, Action? I go, no, Action was great. I was like, the really shitty one he did with Kenny Campbell? And he goes, oh, Local Heroes? And I go, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I'm
going
to bring you up to that.
You actually said that, though? You said it was a crappy show to his face? Like, yes. What was that crappy show you did?
And he was like, oh, really? And I go, if you're okay with that. And he goes, I don't care. Because I knew he wouldn't care. We were hanging out before. And I did introduce him saying that. And he goes, oh, boy, what an introduction. This next comedian is on the cover of Camp Fancy magazine. And he was really cool. And I would always say, the best introduction ever, this dude, I can't remember his name now, but he used to be on Baywatch, the original Baywatch, back when it was on NBC, like the first season. And I said, and I would always say to the comics, what would you like me to say about you? And most of them would say, I don't care. Say whatever you want. Or sometimes they'd say, you know, this, this, and this. And I would always say it. But if they said, I don't care, I took them at their word, and I would give them something that I would find respectful. So this dude, I was like, this next guy, you might remember him from his years on Baywatch. Give it up for this guy. And he was so pissed. And I was like, dude, that's not a diss from me. That's a compliment. That's awesome that you were on Baywatch. And you said, say whatever you want. And he goes, your permission has been revoked. Don't ever do that again. And I was like, oh, well, fuck you.
My sister and I kind of did something similar with the guy who played Carlton on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Right, okay, yeah. And he was on Silver Spoons, of course. And,
you need just a bell to ring every time.
Yeah. So you got Silver Spoons and Fresh Prince, and I guess you can put in Will Smith in the tag, too.
Oh, now yeah. I can.
Is this the most tags you'll ever have in a show?
I don't know.
Let's try to break the record, right? Okay, so my sister and I happened to just, we watched this movie on TV called Ticks. Have you ever seen it or whatever? It's about these giant ticks, and he's in it.
Who else is in that?
I don't even know.
I won't be tagging Ticks.
But oh yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, Chris Rock is in it. Jerry Seinfeld.
That's a good
the champions
hint.
In it.
Oh yeah.
No, but it's this like kind of B movie. I mean, it's like this kind of B horror movie type thing. But anyway, giant ticks. And then just coincidentally, we saw him at this car wash a few days later. And instead of going up to him and saying, you know, are you in that movie? Are you in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Or were you in Silver Spoons or whatever? We went up to him and we said, are you in that movie Ticks? And he said, unfortunately, yes.
Oh, nice.
Like that. He said it like that.
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, whenever I see, who did I see the other day? I saw the girl from Criminal Minds at the movies the other day. Oh, but I saw Jason Ritter just yesterday. I went to see Jackass 3D, and he was there, like, validating his parking. He was in a suit, and he was all alone. And I looked at him. I was like, oh, I think that's Jason Ritter. And many of you know that I interviewed him on my show at the UCB. That interview is actually on the feed if you want to listen to it. So, and he's a super nice guy. He's probably the nicest TV star I've ever met. And so, I say to Brooke, is that Jason Ritter? And she goes, I think so. And I waited for him to turn around, and it was. I said, hey, Jason, Paul Goebel, you did my show at the UCB? I get that all out right at the front, so in case he doesn't know. But whether he recognized me or not, he was nice to go, oh, yeah, hey, good to see you. And we talked for a little bit, and I told him, yeah, I love it. The event's cool, and we enjoy it, and we're watching it. And I always try to do that when I see somebody I know from TV. I try to think, what is it that they're on that I can say, or what did I just see? Like the time I saw Up and I called Ed Asner and told him how awesome it was, and he ended up talking to me for like 15 minutes about it. But it's hard sometimes because you don't want to go, hey, I just saw you on this thing that sucked. And, yeah, you were kind of good on it. But the show itself is terrible. Because that happens a lot. You see a guy and he's all right on the thing, but the show or the movie is terrible. That's no good. But I do that all the time. Hey, I saw you on this. The lady from, she's on Wizards of Waverly Place, and her husband is also an actor, and their kids go to the same school as my daughter, and so I see them at school functions all the time. And, like, he was on this episode of The Closer that I watched, and then that day I went to this picnic at the school, and I saw him. I was like, hey, man, I just watched The Closer. You were great. He's like, oh, I'm not that bad a guy. Ha, 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 that's funny. And then he was also a murderer on The Mentalist. And I saw him, you know, the next night on that. And that's, I think, what people like to hear is...
And next night, he said, ha, I'm not that nice a guy, and you're that bad a guy. And you got, I heard it. I heard it yesterday.
Well,
come on.
You're bad enough that you keep making that fucking gag, and I'm over it. But what I get all the time is, ah, oh, you're the dude that jerked off in my French toast. I love that. And I want to go, no, you don't. Why? You don't love that.
Oh, actually, my thing, actually, the first time I saw you since that show at the Improv was actually on the show where they had all that, like, King of Music and King of TV.
Beat the Geeks.
Beat the Geeks, yeah. Right, right. That's what I saw. And I was like, oh, that's that guy who was hosting the show.
Ah, and then,
that was my thing that I saw.
And then the third time was at the Walsh Brothers show, right?
I think
that's the show we did together. The
well, there was another show at the El Cid, Garage Comedy, I think. That was where...
Oh, we were on that together?
Yeah, yeah. And then probably later in Walsh Brothers, yeah.
The Walsh Brothers show was good. That was a good show. Because did they still do that?
I don't even remember which one. Where was that? The Unknown Theater was the one at the Improv?
It was the one at the Improv.
Yeah, yeah.
All I remember, you were on it and me, and that's it. I don't think they were there. I remember they weren't there. It was hosted by...
Oh, James Patterson?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was hosted by those guys. But that was a fun show to do.
I don't even remember it, actually.
We did that. That's where we did the little drummer boy.
Yep.
It was just the three of us at that show. But that was funny. All right. How about topics? I got a whole shitload of them.
Let's bust out with House really quick?
Sure. I just watched it. Jim is in love with Amber Tamblyn,
she's
and he's
awesome.
In love with House.
Yeah.
And today,
oh my God.
Just last week, his world came together.
Yeah, do you watch House?
I mean, the only thing I could say about House is it stars Hugh Laurie, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
this attack. And all I can say is that he is in this Annie Lennox music video with John Malkovich. Did you guys know that?
No.
He's like, when walking on broken glass.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's, you know, it's like, whatever, like 18th century... like, kind of, you know, French Baroque kind of look, you know, the mm-hmm. wigs and powder and stuff. And he's one of the characters in it.
Did you know he's also Stuart Little's dad?
No.
In the Stuart Little movies?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah?
But, you know, I think he also was in a comedy duo, also.
Yeah, Jeeves and Wooster.
Yeah.
As it's him and Stephen Fry.
But did that's all also, I... Like, yeah?
Did you also know... did you ever watch Friends?
Not really.
Growing up, really?
Not
well, there's
really.
This infamous... When Ross is getting married over in England and Rachel gets on the plane... To go stop him. The whole time she's sitting next to this dude and talking about what she's doing, and the guy's English. That's Hugh Laurie.
Uh-huh.
That was his one of his first bigger roles, and he's also English. Did you know that?
Well, I think he was actually pretty popular in English in England.
I think
in
was.
English he was popular in English
or
before he was
languages.
Popular in any other language. Before
yeah,
he was
really?
Popular in any
oh,
other language.
Yeah, that's
yes.
probably true.
Yeah,
that was probably because then when they got House. Now, do you think in Mexico they should call the show Casa MD?
I think in Mexico they do not watch it.
What? I bet they do.
Because
they
like,
get it. They get it subtitled or what is it dubbed?
No, they try to watch it, but then they're all like, "Yeah, doctor who washes his hands." Right.
Okay, now that was racist.
That's not racist.
That was definitely racist. Why? Because all the doctors work out of those trucks. Is that why? There's no bathrooms there. And people walk up and they're like, I need an appendectomy and a...
I don't think it's actually racist as much as it's sad because things there are fucked up now.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
Turn on the TV now and then.
Nah, I don't like the news. It's kind of bad.
There's a Japanese horror film called House.
Oh, yeah. That's like really big now because I was just at Amoeba
yesterday.
Yeah,
it's making a comeback. Yeah, I think it's making
I was just at Amoeba yesterday and they were taught, they posters all over for it. Apparently,
yeah.
It's a big deal. Did they make that into it? Did they remake that into an American movie yet?
Not that I know.
Because almost every Japanese horror movie gets remade into like The Ring or The Grudge.
But there was a horror movie in America that was called House, right? That we went to see?
No, just House with William Catt. Yeah, William Catt. I love we went to see that. It's before your time. But it was, it was kind of kitschy. It wasn't really scary.
The House was a horror
comedy. Yeah. Horror comedy, yes, with William Catt, Richard Mall, and George Wendt. What a cast. You got the greatest American hero, Bull, and Norm in a fucking haunted house. But I remember going to see it at the Midnight Movies. That movie was so great.
Yeah.
Because we went and saw the Midnight together. Movies. Yeah. And first of all, some people got in a fight, which is always good. And this guy threw an entire tub of popcorn on this girl. And then a big fight broke out. But then I remember at one point, he kills this demon who's supposed to be like his wife and chops her up. And as he's chopping her up, they play You're No Good by Linda Ronstadt. And I thought, that is so great. And everyone starts clapping and singing. And I was like, this is what midnight movies were made for. And that might have been the one where Aaron snuck in grapes in his hat.
It might have been, yeah.
So we could eat grapes during the movie.
That guy's crazy.
Fucking guy.
He got some grapes, he'll put them in his hat. That's something that guy will do.
He'll do it.
I've never seen House, just to answer the question.
The TV show?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, are you familiar with Amber Tamblyn?
No.
Okay.
Joan of Arcadia?
She used to be on Joan of Arcadia with Jason Ritter.
She was Joan.
Okay.
Sister of the Traveling Pants, you went to see that.
Sure, okay.
The Unusuals? Well, she's good. I mean, what can you say? It was a good episode. She was good on it.
Really good. And then
She'll be a nice addition to the show. She won't be on forever.
Apparently, she's signed on for a fairly long story arc. So
I could see her going to the end of the season.
Yeah,
I don't see it going much farther.
And I read an interview where she was talking about this character and. This seemed like a dick thing to do and also really funny. She said, well, I've got this character. The character is, they came to me. They wanted to be on the show. They didn't have a character at the time, but I knew they were great writers and we'd come up with something. And one thing that I suggested is I have a friend who's really smart, but really socially awkward. I said, can we base it on my friend? And that seemed kind of funny to me. If I was like on a TV show and I'm like, I have this buddy who's always in his pajamas by 6:00. Can I make that my character?
Well, that's what acting is. Yeah. You know, if you're in a movie and you do an impression of Jack Nicholson,
Christian Slater.
Like Christian Slater did in Heathers, everyone says, wow, what a shitty actor.
Or anything else he's ever made.
Yes. But if you're in a movie and you do an impression of your mailman.
Take that, Christian Slater. Why aren't you tagging this?
Sorry. But if you're in a movie and you do an impression of your mailman in every movie, people think you're hilarious.
The problem is Jack Nicholson's his mailman.
Oh, so that's okay then. I'm all right with that. So, okay, I didn't think House was going to be that big of a well, but we had to touch on it. Let's talk about Conan, because he premiered last week, and he's on 4 nights a week, which is kind of weird, right? You guys think that's weird? He's only on 4 nights a week?
That's weird.
I don't think that's wild. Unusual.
I guess not. I guess because he's on basic cable, that's just the way. And there was a time when he was on NBC, he was only on 4 nights a week, because Monday was a rerun. So they could do more tape bits. Maybe he said, let's be on 4 nights a week so we can do more tape bits like we did.
But Friday night is such a, seems like it would be, I don't know, seems like it would be a go-getter. You know?
But I think because it's basic cable, they want to show wrestling or other crazy shit on Friday.
Oh, is Friday the off night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It may just be a budgetary thing, too. They may not be able to afford 5 nights a week.
Yeah, that's also popular. Right.
That's very popular.
It's popular that it's possible. But I thought it was great. I thought Will Forte was hilarious on the first show, and, you know, and it's fun. And it reminds me of just, like, the early days of Conan. It was almost like... It was like Conan reached the Peter Principle. He got so big, he tried to do it, and it just didn't work out. And, of course, it was not his fault. But now he's back where he should be, a smaller budget, and basically getting to do whatever he wants.
Right.
He owns the show now. He doesn't have to. We were just talking about this before the show, about notes and shit. TBS isn't giving him notes on his fucking show. He's going to do whatever he wants. And, you know, did you see that bit where he went and talked to the censor?
That's the very funny, right? TBS is very
funny.
They're
very funny.
That's probably the note that we want this very funny. And then he's like, I'm tired of that. That's not, come on, stop doing that.
No, that's the note that you got clearly 10 years ago.
Thank you that I am very funny. Thank you so much.
No,
that's how I'm going to take
nope.
it. Yep.
Nope. But did you see that thing where he went to talk to the standard and practices guy?
Yes.
I thought that was hysterical. And McCann came in with that fucking thing on. Right. I knew it was assless, and he turned around, and it was fucking great. And then the other guy came in with the fishbowl pants. Brilliant. And shit like that is, I forgot how much I loved that stuff. And even on NBC, that was one of my favorite things he did. I mean, when he was on The Tonight Show. But I thought it was a great show. What did you guys think of the week of shows? You guys don't have cable. Do you watch it online?
Yeah, it's there. All the episodes are online on Team Coco.
TeamCoco.com. Yeah.
So I watched I've watched the first two.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen any of the episodes because I don't have cable either now. And or TV at all, actually. But
you don't have a TV.
I have a TV. I don't have TV.
You have,
I have ATV. I don't have TV.
But you do have HBO, because that's not TV.
Right, okay, right, yeah.
So you're saying you don't even have an antenna and
I don't.
Decoder?
Right, I don't have a situation yet, but I have a television set.
Because you watch DVDs and stuff on it.
And, yeah, and I play video games on it, yeah. Right. So, okay. The only thing I saw of the show so far was the opening intro thing, where he talks about what happened. I mean, portrays what happened after getting fired and all that stuff. Yeah, that's all I've seen so far.
And again, that was a funny bit, and it did not disappoint. And it was because I mean,
I've seen the promos too, actually.
Yeah, the promos are very funny.
Yeah,
as I was watching the show, I thought this needs to be really funny but really simple, and it was. And from what I understand, the Max Weinberg not being on the show is apparently a relief, because people I know connected with the show have told me in confidence, and that's why I'm sharing it with everybody else, that he was a fucking pain in the ass to work with.
Well, tag Max Weinberg on this thing.
Hold on. They said he was just a drag, and he wasn't fun, and he was an old man, and he complained about everything, and
he was so funny on the old show. I mean, I watched the original, you know, Late Night with Conan O'Brien from the first right. season, and, like, until about... You know, maybe 2000. Actually, I thought for me, actually, the show reached its. It was like its funniest, like in sort of like 97 to 99 kind of time. You know, like that was just. But like, I love that the whole first like 10 years basically was just really really good. And I really like Max Weinberg too. I thought he was really.
I
funny,
did too,
yeah.
But apparently he was hard and difficult to work with.
Maybe he became because he got
sure.
old.
Also, yeah, he's the oldest guy there for sure.
And I certainly couldn't blame a guy for saying, you know, this was fun. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah.
And also moving out to L.A. and, you know, he is from New Jersey and then going. And I'm sure that was another thing. Like, it's hard enough being an old man going out on tour, even though you're going out on tour with Bruce Springsteen to make a lot of money. That's a tough gig.
Yeah.
Then having to go back to work playing drums on TV, that's got to be a drag. So.
Yeah.
So whatever. So it seems like they got everything they wanted now. And you know, except for the money. But
that's such a joke because yes, he's not making as much money.
Yeah,
he's making plenty of money.
Sure, yeah.
And then the other thing is he's in that first night. You look at the ratings; he beat Leno. But here's the thing about that: he beat him by a sizable amount. But even more when you consider how many fewer TVs that is.
Yeah,
to get that.
Also,
number.
Conan's on. Like I watch him at 8 o'clock. You know, he's on a couple times, and Leno's only on once, you know, and if you know, he's on at 8 o'clock, you know, that's prime time.
Yeah, his 8 o'clock ratings are much better than Leno's 8 o'clock ratings. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's what I'm saying, faggot. Well, let's talk about another thing, guests on the show. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this,
they should have guests.
Weren't you going to stop doing that?
What?
You just called him a faggot. You were going to stop doing that.
Call people no. I was gonna stop saying things were gay and meaning
same thing.
And meaning they're bad.
That's the same thing.
No, well,
yes, it is.
No, here's the thing.
Did you used to do that a lot?
Oh yeah, we got a complaint,
and a very well stated.
No, but it's weird. I used to. I mean, I still do it actually, but I don't do it in the presence of people who would not like it though.
Right.
Because it's something I did the other day. I grew up with it basically, and right. the words change. You know what I mean? Like they. I mean, gay meant happy, you know, originally. And then, you know, like, the meanings of things change. And I don't know, it's a cultural thing, I guess. I grew up with it. I grew up in Los Angeles.
I think a lot of young men did. A lot of young boys grew up saying, it's fucking gay. But, you know, there was that whole, all those PSAs about calling things gay.
But, you know, I want to respect somebody's, you know.
Obviously. Feeling, and that's the bottom line for me. I did it until a listener wrote a letter saying, you know, why do you do that? It bums me out. And I was like, well, if you're going to stop listening to the show because I do that, then maybe I should stop doing that. Because it's not like we can spare listeners. And I was like, that's the best that's the best reason I've ever heard not to do something.
It's hard. Like, sometimes, like, my siblings and I have trouble describing what do we mean by gay? And does it necessarily mean something is bad? It's not exactly. For me, gay meant well, when I use it in that context, something that's corny, actually. Like, corny mm-hmm. and sort of just, like, corny is the closest word I could think of, really. But mm-hmm. it maybe it doesn't exactly say what I mean when I say gay. I also... But then so now I just try to say corny, which is the closest approximation. Right.
And I just, I say that's fucking stupid. Is when I find myself saying something's gay, I say, well, what I mean by that is stupid, so I'm just going to call it fucking stupid.
That's well, there's a friend of mine I had lunch with today, and she loves to call things retarded. Right. And it doesn't bother me at all because,
you're used to it.
Yeah. Well,
were you retarded in the past, or are you retarded now?
A little bit.
High functioning.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Asperger's and autistic and
he went to one of those church things where they cure you from being retarded.
You know, speaking of retarded, I did a show at the Improv on Thursday, and there was a big group of retarded people there at the show.
Sure.
And one of the comics straight up said retarded, and he was just like. Because they're retarded, and about them, but about something in his joke.
Right.
And that was a little bit like, oh, wow. You know, wow. That's a little, like situational.
Did I ever tell the story about doing the show with Bean where we were doing the American Idol sketch?
Yeah, and you talked about raping his mom, and his mom was in the audience.
Well, there were two things. His mom was in the audience, and I talked to him, where the idea was, he's so bad that I'm the Simon Cowell, but it was way over the top, and I'm going to rape your mother. And then at some point, I call somebody a fucking retard, and Brian's brother is there, too.
Who's retarded, definitely.
And he's not a fucking retard, he's just retarded. It's not nice what I'm like, wow. those are the contexts where those are the interesting contexts, because no matter how much you tell yourself, I don't mean anything bad by it. Put it in the right context and you realize, I shouldn't be threatening to rape this guy's mom. No.
Well, I mean,
it was a character.
I actually think you can say anything as long as it's in the right context.
Sure.
But sometimes there's things that create that modify that context to make it feel like weird, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. It's there's. I don't want to get into my feelings on that, but I will say, when I call Jim a faggot, it's not the word faggot. It's the way I say it. When I call him a faggot, I think everybody knows what I mean by that. When I say faggot, when I say you're a faggot,
it means he's a burn.
I think you're equivocating.
I probably am, but still.
You just...
My equivocation gets my point across, doesn't it?
Your point, your argument is just for the reason so that you can say that word a lot of times right now.
Yes. Well, no, because... Well, I guess yes. But that's not a word I use a lot anyways, and I never use it to talk about a homosexual. Really, only when I want to tell somebody they're being extremely terrible, I guess.
Well, okay, then you're wrong.
But see, maybe I'm wrong, but my thing, like, you know, first of
all... Does that guy need to write to you about that word, too?
Maybe. Let me know, gay guys, what your feeling is on the word faggot, because that's a whole nother thing, because there are some guys, gay guys, who use the word constantly with themselves and their friends.
Well,
yes. There are other gay guys who say, however, I'm not down with that word.
You're absolutely right, but... The context in which they use it is absolutely identical to the N-word. So you have to decide.
Right.
Because what they're saying within the homosexual community is, we're owning this word. And more common is to refer to each other as queens. They're like, wow, that guy's really queenie. Like a thing that in the homosexual community you'll say, this guy's a real queen, which basically means... That guy's even gay for me, which is a funny thing to say.
Sure. But here's my reaction to that. I will not use, you know...
Here's my reaction.
Scared?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my reaction. Whenever anybody asks me, you know, I've had somebody ask me this once, why can't we use the N-word, like guys from other countries and stuff? Say, why is that such a thing? And this is how I explain to them, because this is how it was explained to me. When black people were put in chains and dragged, literally dragged over to this country and, you know, and used as slaves and had their entire culture and family ripped from them, the one thing that we as white people can let them do is use the N-word without judgment and without questioning it. Just give them that. And when you look at it that way, it's like, yeah, that is the least you can do. And as a white man in America, I know that for sure my descendants are responsible for what happened to the black man in this country. And I
because of time travel.
And I bear my descendants.
Your kids. My your kids rotten kids.
Paul, we got into something about your kids.
They're great. But they're going to go back and make slavery. Clearly, you know what I mean. But they will. But I know that that's one of the few things I can do as a person to, you know, when I was studying Brotherhood Week growing up in Michigan and Black History Month, that was I was weighed down with it because I'm a white guy who's, you know, whose great great grandfather owned slaves or whatever. However.
No, I don't think so. I don't. To be fair to your ancestors, I don't think they owned slaves because I mean your ancestors were from Germany.
Yeah, but Germans were.
I'm just saying they did other stuff.
Comedy.
I think there is a context though where you can, like anyone can use the N word, but it has to be the right context though.
Well, yes. You know?
I mean, like rally.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, if you have like a white hood on and a burning cross,
because you don't want people to see you when you're
because you want them to know what N word you're talking about.
No, but I mean, like, if you're like, okay, here's like a context that I used to work as a substitute teacher, and there was a class that I was substitute teaching once where we had to read a Langston Hughes poem, and it uses the N word a lot in it,
of course.
You know, we recited it out loud, and we like went around like reading it, and. I mean, I'm sure some of the white kids in class got a kick out of being able to say the N-word, and it was okay. But that was a context in which we could say it.
Of course.
Similarly, like, sometimes I'll portray a character on stage in stand-up comedy who is a character who is it's okay for that character to say the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is the sort of more urbanized version of it, too, or the more contemporary kind of urbanized version of it. And... So that's a context in which is okay too, and I don't have a problem doing that in front of black crowds too, and I do it in front of black crowds, and it's okay. There's nobody's being called that. It's like and actually when I used to substitute teach, the students used to call me the N-word a lot, and sometimes it was out of anger, but sometimes it was out of affection too. I mean, it was a term of endearment, and you know, words they change and you know and things like that. But I think there's always a context. Where something can be okay to be said.
Yes, and my feeling is about the word faggot that I personally have never
we need to
been biased against homosexuals, and I think I have done my part in my life to promote the cause of you know the homosexual agenda, as it were. And I think it's fine if they take over our schools and indoctrinate our kids. I don't have a problem with that. But the point is, my relatives are not so responsible for the homosexual. And the truth is,
I don't think that's the point.
I think it is the point for me, and also because homosexuals have been everywhere. There were homosexual slaves. There's homosexuals from the dawn of time all over the country.
There's homosexual
all over
slave
the world.
Owners, maybe,
homosexual
right?
slave owners, definitely. So there, you know, the plight of the homosexual is not my plight, and is not something I am so much responsible for. So, you know, so when I call Jim a faggot because he's annoying me, that's what I mean. He's as annoying as a faggot can be because he's very fucking annoying. And I think we've all known some annoying gay guys. That is the truth. Right?
Wait, time out. So you're saying that you're
Yeah.
Well, like, basically, you're redefining the word. Redefining the word faggot.
Yes.
But to me,
because I don't know anybody who uses that term anymore.
Yeah.
I think if a guy was like saying, oh, look at those faggots, I would laugh at him. Like if he was talking about a bunch of gay people and said, look at all those fags, I'd be like, what did you say?
You understand that does happen.
Yes. But to me, that's such a joke. As if that's an insult.
But you know who it's not a joke to? It's probably the gay guys.
Well, it's the faggots. But,
you know, people do still get assaulted just for being...
Or murdered.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a huge topic right now, in fact, right? People are getting
bullied. I'm not saying they don't. And there are still people who get assaulted and murdered for being black, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But the difference is...
And black and gay, boom, forget it.
You get assaulted and murdered, both.
Yeah.
And usually it's in that order, hopefully. But the difference is...
Well, it would be easier to get assaulted after you're dead, though. I would prefer it to be the opposite way.
Well, it's worse for the...
If you're dead first, then the assault is
It's worse for the attacker, because the attacker's not getting everything they want. right? I guess, but
right, but I
where does your sympathy, lie? Yeah, exactly.
But I can only go by my feelings, and my feeling is anyone who uses it's like when somebody.
That's part of the problem, honestly.
Yes,
the problem part. No. What I'm saying is part of the problem is only being able to go by your feelings, right?
Yeah.
Because empathy is where we make.
And when and it's not until somebody makes me feel differently, like this guy who wrote the letter about the gay thing, and I said, "Oh, you've now put it in my you've basically couched it in terms that make sense to me and something I can care about." Well, a dude who listens to our show is not down with that.
Then let me see if I can put this in a context for you.
Are you going to come out right now?
No.
Okay,
we had a conversation about the use of the word gay on this program where you said very similar things defending your use of the word gay.
Right.
Then this guy wrote you and changed your mind.
Right.
I'm telling you this is the same situation.
That someone's going to write me and change my mind?
Regardless, the same arguments that made you change your mind about using the word gay should make you change your mind about using the word faggot. We've been through this whole thing.
Because you're saying that there doesn't need to be a letter. There's definitely people who feel that way.
Yes. I'm telling you, I feel that way.
Really?
Yes. I told you this the first time when we had the conversation about using the word gay.
Well, yeah, because that I can get behind. Because being gay is not something to be ashamed of. In fact, you can be proud of it, just like you're proud to be black, white, tall, whatever. But I think being a faggot...
You know what that word means, Paul. You know, don't pretend you don't know what
I'm not pretending.
Perhaps if we use the word faggot more freely, so to the fact where everybody is one, you know, or everyone can be called that, it takes the power away from it.
But actually, that's the argument.
It's changing.
You're right to a degree, but that's the argument with the N-word. But here's what I'll say is here's the catch-22. If you remove the power from the N-word so that anybody could say it and it has no power, nobody will bother saying it because it is the power that attracts people. The same applies with the F-word in this particular context because there is no draw for anyone to use it unless it has the sting. Now, I do agree that there's a context to where even Tom, I'm sure there's a place where Tom would hear the word and it wouldn't offend him, like, I don't know, in a movie where somebody says it and their character is a dick, obviously. You understand that that's for that particular purpose or whatever. Or in a joke that I tell, I think you like it.
Well, there was the flap recently about Vince Vaughn saying, in a trailer for a movie, Vince Vaughn says,
right, the smart cars,
hybrids are gay or something like that. And that didn't offend me because I understand I'm not supposed to think that's awesome. I'm supposed to understand he's dumb.
Right.
So that's a character, and things characters say don't offend me.
I disagree with that, though. I think, because I saw that trailer in the movie. I saw that. Did you see the trailer?
No.
Oh, I did.
But I know what kind of characters Vince Vaughn plays.
But in the trailer, he was. I think that was the exact point. You're supposed to go, wow, look at him selling this thing, and look at him being awesome and challenging these guys' masculinity to sell his car. I think that was the problem with it. Because that's what I got from the trailer.
It didn't
bother me, but that's what I got from
it. Like, putting restrictions on using these words, though, like, really make them more powerful? And makes them have more sting? Like, because if you call someone an idiot, like, that's not a big deal, right? But maybe, was there ever a time when idiot was, like, that offended idiots?
Well, idiot, like that idiot or whatever, used to be a clinical term. It actually meant someone with an IQ below a certain amount, you know?
Right.
And they were an idiot. Now it doesn't mean that anymore. Just like midget. Midget used to mean somebody under a certain height. Now it just means
someone
shorter than you.
With all this, like, you can't say this word or whatever, it does make that word seem like, I don't know, it definitely makes it more like...
That is absolutely part of the struggle, right?
Yeah, I mean, because it's a weird thing. You know?
I think there's a difference between you can't say the word and you shouldn't say the word.
Mm.
And I think any word, where we still live in a context where that word is actively being used to oppress people, I don't want anything to do with it. Like, if I'm in a scholarly context, if I'm in a context of doing comedy where it's supposed to be understood that this is not a good thing that someone is saying this, that's one thing. But I'm not going to use these words in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, obviously, as the past has shown, I'm certainly open to any opinions on this particular subject, except for Tom's. So go ahead and write me and let me know how you feel about that and me calling Jim a faggot. Because I don't mean Jim's bad. I just mean he's a faggot. All right, let's move on. to well, this is what I want to
you
say.
You don't mean he's bad. You just mean he's gay.
No, I don't mean he's bad. Like Michael Jackson is bad. I mean he's not good. He's ungood.
Okay, now that you just contradicted yourself.
How?
Well, because you didn't. You said you didn't mean that I was bad.
Right, like Michael Jackson. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. Like to move one's rump. Is that what we're referencing?
Yeah, to shake one's booty means to wriggle one's backside. Permit me to demonstrate. So here's what I wanted to say about Conan, and this will get off the topic of...
Is that what we're talking about?
This will be... To move the topic away from me being mad, people being mad at me, here's me being mad at someone else for a change. Conan had two guests on this week.
One of them was Nathan Lane, and I do not appreciate...
They were two different guests. The first was Julie Bowen, and she was great.
I had two different guests.
And she was great because, you know, she's funny and she's beautiful and you know, she's on a great show. But the best thing was, you know, she was the second guest after Michael Cera, who was entertaining and told a funny story and was exactly the way Michael Cera should be. But Julie Bowen came out and she told funny stories and she made references to earlier stories. But the best thing she said was, you know, Conan said, "Your show is so great and so funny. How fun is that?" And she said, "I am well aware that there are thousands of people out there who could do my job, and I feel so lucky to be on such a great show." And I thought that was a very cool thing to say, because it's probably not true that there are thousands of people who could do her job, but there are a bunch of other actresses who are just as funny and pretty and could do that job just as well, because obviously so much of it is about the writing. But I thought that was an awesome thing to say, because she obviously appreciates what she's doing. And you know, she's had other great jobs. She was on Ed and Boston Legal and, you know, plenty of cool stuff. But she still appreciates this great gig. However, there was another guest who I will not name who was on. And she told this story about people. She didn't name the show, but it was clear she was talking about The Big Bang Theory. And she met with writers and producers of the show who wanted to write a part for her on that show. And they did. And she went in and read it, and she was like, "This is terrible." And the joke she made was, "And I'm reading the script at the script reading, and all I can think is, oh, my soul is dying." And everyone laughs. And then the end of the story is about how at the script reading she was so terrible, they fired her and wrote her out of the part. And I thought, well, how is this cool? How is that fucking supposed to be an entertaining and interesting story that this girl who's on Conan O'Brien, who is known as a comedian, who wants to make people laugh, is complaining about being on The Big Bang Theory? You got one woman who's saying she knows 1,000 people could do her job. Then you got the other woman saying, "I don't want this job that 1,000 other people could do or want." And it fucking amazes me. It boggles my mind that people find that endearing or cute or interesting or entertaining in any way. And
well,
it made me so fucking angry.
Well, here's what I'll say about that, and I'll use a different example. I think it was Danny Bonaducci we had on one of our live shows, and he was talking about his father, if I'm remembering the story correctly, who was a writer for television.
Yeah.
And the story he told about writing for television is how what his dad would do is that his dad would say, "Oh, I'm still working on it. And then whatever show he wrote for, he would crank out the script pretty much the day it was due, because he was like, it's TV. And he would give them the script and it was fine. And he absolutely deplored what he was doing. He thought, "This is awful. I don't want to be doing this," and hated himself. "It's beneath me." And as a guy who writes and tries to get gigs writing, that, of course, boggles my mind as well. But then what I think is it's all point of view and perspective, because I can understand an artist. I don't know who you're talking about, so it makes it difficult to judge fairly, but I can understand a writer feeling either way. I can understand a writer feeling lucky, and I can understand a writer feeling like a sucker, and likewise, an actor, same thing. I appreciate sort of both points of view. I agree that one of them is less endearing, but I can respect both. But, of course, I'm minus knowing who we're talking about.
I'm not faulting her for having those feelings. I'm not faulting her for being the
person
she is.
You wonder why do people think it's endearing.
Yes, I'm faulting her for, I'm faulting her for, A, going on TV and telling that fucking story. The same way I faulted Katherine Heigl for complaining about being on a fucking hit TV show that she won an Emmy for. And I'm faulting a fucking America for thinking, oh, that's so cute. I can't wait to go back to my job shoveling shit tomorrow after hearing her tell that fucking story about complaining about being on one of the most popular TV shows.
Did she actually mention the show, though, too?
She didn't say the name of the show, but it was clear so that's what she was talking about. Because she mentioned one of her lines from the show, and her line was, I'm paraphrasing, but her line was, don't talk to me right now, I'm using this laser to heat up a cup of noodles. That's fucking clearly the Big Bang Theory. What other show are they going to say that on? You know, that's fucking, it's, and...
The Laser Show?
The Laser Show, the Laser Cup of Noodle Hour.
I used to take karate lessons with one of the actors on that show.
Who?
Simon Helberg.
Oh, yeah?
I had no idea he was even doing acting and doing comedy, but I watched A Serious Man just like actually.
Oh, he's great
long ago.
In that. Yeah.
But I didn't see it when it came out in the theaters, and I saw it like just a few months ago, and I saw this name on the credits and it said Simon Helberg, and I was just like, this is the opening credits, and I was watching it with my sister, and I was like, is that the same Simon Helberg? I went to. I just thought it's probably not. It's probably just the same name because I took karate lessons with him, and we had a couple sleepovers. He came to my birthday party one year,
right?
And and so,
when you guys were kids, this is
that's what I mean. Okay. When we were kids, like, well, yeah, like when I was that's like 10 years old or something.
Because he used to be on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and he was in this movie. I think it's called The TV Set with David Duchovny.
That's crazy. He was on Studio 60 also. Yeah. And now I'm realizing it. That was him, and I think I came close to getting that part that he had that night
at the improv.
Yeah, he was the other guy.
That was the guy.
No, but
that's hilarious.
But then when I saw him in Serious Man, I didn't know which character he was playing yet. I was like immediately recognized. I'm like, oh, that's the guy. That's definitely the guy I went to karate lessons with. And then I looked him up, and I found out he was on The Big Bang Theory, which I'd never seen. And then and I was like, oh, wow. And then I realized he was on this web series, Derek and Simon, that I'd seen. And I was like, oh, that was him. That was the same guy. I was just like, oh, wow, that's so
that
crazy.
That was
the
very
same
popular
guy.
Web series, too,
yeah.
Derek and Simon.
But that's actually crazy that he was like, now that you mentioned it, like Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, I think the part that he was on that show was a part that I came really close to getting myself, actually, which is, that's interesting. That adds another interesting dynamic.
Another wrinkle. Though. Well, it's funny because I've seen him outside and in other stuff, and he's a pretty normal guy. He's nothing like, obviously.
What belt are
like.
You?
I had a black belt.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you keep up?
No, I haven't done it since I was 14.
Are you going to challenge him?
Maybe.
Are you karate guy?
Oh, getting the yellow. Yellow belt. Yellow.
Are you yellow belt, really?
Yeah,
so is my daughter.
A long time ago, yeah.
My daughter's also a yellow belt.
But I studied Kaju Kenbo.
Do you have anything to say on this topic, Tom?
Wow, that's cool.
About,
on the subject of karate?
No, on the subject of people not being thankful for their
people
good
like to,
fortune.
People like to be snobs. And the Big Bang Theory right now is a sort of battleground show where people, you know, the hipsters can't decide whether it's laughing with us or at us. You know,
right.
is this a funny show that we like, or is this the next low? Is it the next Two and a Half Men, a lowbrow comedy
hate? I look at like the UCB
as
a perfect example.
Conan's audience has a high hipster quotient.
So. But like, you know, whenever I go to the UCB to see a show or to watch a show, I'm always struck by how cool everybody is there. And the UCB guys in particular, you know, Matt and Ian and Amy, you know, the four of them have a high threshold of hipsterism, no doubt about it. And yet, I've never heard an interview or seen anything where any one of them said, that's horseshit. I would never do something like that. And case in point, you know, Amy Poehler is now on a sitcom. You know,
happy to be there.
And she's happy to be there, but I'm sure there's some people who look at the sitcom and go, I can't fucking watch it. You know, it's not crazy popular. It's not The Office. It's The Office
Junior. Parks and Rec has become quite well respected in the hipster circles.
It's a funny show.
It had almost the exact same arc as The Office, where in like the first season they hated it and then all of a sudden everybody loved it.
Right. But I never hear, and I don't know what, I'm not like close friends with those guys. And, you know, Matt Besser has been on the show a couple times. And he, you know, he says, well, I don't watch a lot of TV. I remember once he goes, I only watch a few shows. And I said, what? And he goes, Kyle XY and Metalocalypse. And like a few others that were just
don't
fucking
seem to go together.
Right? Just like a total fucking random thing. And we talked about that, and he was like, and I said, that's clear that the only reason you watch those shows is because you dig them. There's only one reason. And he wasn't talking shit about other shows. And, you know, and you look at those guys' career, and it just, what I don't get, it's fine to be a snob, but just don't go on there and talk shit about it and make people, especially today, when so many people don't have money to pay their mortgages and put food in their kids' mouths, don't complain about a job that you got where someone was paying you thousands and thousands of dollars. How can you be so fucking disconnected from the world? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I have a question.
Yes, Brent.
What is...
Floor recognizes Brent.
Who... I mean, not who, but like... Well, just out of curiosity, how come you don't want to mention this person's name?
Because I don't want... Because I...
I mean, like, because you've already kind of made it obvious who it is for the people who know who you're talking about.
Yeah. We filled up our tag quotient.
Yeah, right. No more tags available.
Well, because, A, anyone who saw this knows who I'm talking about. Yeah. B, I try very hard not to make this show about bashing people and talking shit about people.
Sure, sure.
Only because that's something in the past, on past shows, I've done that a lot. And it's very easy for me to fall into that trap. And
if you're a tag on the show, that's a good thing.
Yes. I only tag people who I talk about.
It's like if people do Google searches on their name and your name comes up from this show, you don't have anything to worry about.
Not at all. Unless I told a story you didn't want me to share. But again, right. I didn't tell it to embarrass you. I told it because I thought it was awesome. Speaking of hipsters, I heard a very funny joke. How many hipsters does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
Well, it's an obscure number. You probably never heard of it. Right? That's fucking good. All right. Well, we've exhausted that topic. Let's talk about one more thing that I want to discuss. We talked about this a couple episodes ago where, you know, people are mentioned in things and, you know, is it too meta? What was it that we were talking about specifically?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You know, Scott wrote the letter about it, and then you brought it up about the Venture Brothers.
Oh.
What was the original example?
We were talking about The Walking Dead and how nobody in Walking Dead knows anything about zombies.
They don't say the word, and they don't even know what zombies are. And we talk about how there's other examples. And our friend Scott Madsen, who answered a trivia question and is a listener and a good buddy, He wrote me with all these other very cool examples. The best was, in my opinion, was on the Sarah Connor Chronicles. They clearly lived in present-day California, where Arnold Schwarzenegger is the governor. Do any of them ever go, hey, that governor looks like the fucking robot who rescued me when I was a kid. He looks just like that fucking robot who rescued me. How crazy is that? Because I don't know for sure, but it seems to me they never said... I mean, did they say who was the governor on Sarah Connor Chronicles?
I don't remember it ever coming up.
And it seems to me he was the guy. He was Arnold Schwarzenegger, the guy. And now I asked Brooke about it, and she said, no, he's not the governor in that world. Arnold Schwarzenegger's not the governor. Or maybe he is, but he doesn't look that way in that world.
There's a guy that they showed in an episode of those who was clearly a Terminator, who was a very big guy who kind of vaguely looked Arnold Schwarzenegger-ish, and they didn't make a big deal about it, but in my mind, I had decided that was the TV version of the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator. That's what he looked like.
The T-whatever.
Yeah.
The T-100
the
series.
The T-800 or whatever.
Whatever it was. Because they all looked the same when they came back, when they went back in time.
So I think there was a TV version of Arnold that...
Well,
if we wanted to decide didn't look like
And then
Arnold
you had, what was the Venture Brothers example
the one,
you used?
Oh, the one I brought up was, in the Venture Brothers, there are certain characters who are partially inspired by David Bowie lyrics, like Major Tom and the Action Man.
Now, that, I don't watch Venture Brothers, so I'm asking, is this just their name, or are they actually...
Well, Major Tom is pretty much has a very similar experience.
So he's not just named Major Tom after the show. His life mirrors the life of the guy in the song.
He's named Major Tom. He's a test pilot. That his plane breaks up. The dialogue in the scene
at the very towards the end, he goes, "I believe my ship knows where to go," and it's all this cool stuff.
Okay.
So there's characters and situations in the Venture
Brothers. David Bowie is a big character in the show too.
I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
that are clearly inspired by David Bowie lyrics.
Yes.
David Bowie clearly exists in that
as himself.
He's appeared on the show, and he's actually very important in the world of the Venture Brothers. So my question was, in that world, are the lyrics actually references to the characters?
To those guys. Because obviously these guys
are from like the 60s.
Right. They were
prominent people.
And they're not just named, it's not like they were named after the song, because they're more than just the name. Their lives.
So it's a Marvel Comics thing. It's a thing where David Bowie wrote the songs he wrote are about them. Yeah,
right. That's like got those be characters it. Inspired his songs.
That's got to be what it is.
That's a neat thing. That's a neat concept. So the show is like it's almost like the etymology of his songs or whatever that means or the behind the music. It's just David Bowie behind the music. Is what that should be called.
They clearly like David Bowie, and they made a bunch of David Bowie references. But then they ended up writing David Bowie into the series, and that kind of recontextualizes everything.
And then there's a particular scene where the two critical characters are discussing Bowie, and one of them goes, "How they're a big fan," and then he mentions the album he likes, and he goes, "Oh, what a poser! That's a best of album," and they do that too. So clearly, he's also the musician David Bowie, but he can turn into a bird as well.
Oh, that's awesome!
He's a shape changer.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about trivia.
Were you not going to do the Dick Van Dyke story?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Oh, okay.
I'm going back and forth.
Speaking of trivia, real quick.
Yes.
This bothered me immensely this afternoon. I turned the TV on, and there's this very serious-looking Bruce Willis, and for a moment, I think it's The Sixth Sense. It turned out to be Disney's The Kid.
Sure.
And as they go to commercial, they ask a trivia question. Their trivia question was, Disney's The Kid was filmed in Los Angeles, the second biggest city in the U.S. What's the first?
Really?
And I thought, well, there are two answers I would accept to this. Like, one would be New York. The other is, what does this have to do with Disney's The Kid?
Yeah. Well, do they mean biggest by population?
They mean
or
like
biggest
mass,
by size.
Yeah, size. Or
they didn't say. I assume they meant population.
Yeah.
What is the biggest city by size?
That's really hard, right?
Texas is
not a city.
Texas is the biggest city. It's such a big state that it counts as a city.
Right.
It should count as a city. Like, it gets to claim cities also.
Right. I'm curious. I'm sure somebody out there knows what the biggest city by size is.
It might
is.
Be Los Angeles. Cause
I think
LA,
Los Angeles has got to be it, actually.
Everything
yeah.
in L.A. County that's not it's another city is L.A.
I mean, Los
yeah, everything
is
between
is
Burbank
huge.
And San Diego, basically, is Los Angeles.
It's gigantic.
Well, there's Orange County in it.
Oh, that's right, O.C., the OC, bitch.
Anyway, that made me so mad, because that's not how you write trivia.
No, it's not. You don't write it that easy and that fucking random. Okay, well, trivia a couple weeks ago, the dude who got the Ghetto Man question wrote me. His name's Trevor Robinson. Got himself a couple stickers. Way to go, Trevor. Nobody answered the question about Graham and did not get his CD. Graham got arrested because he said, you should knock that guy's head off. And then the cops knocked Nick Swardson's head off and arrested him. So we still have Graham's CD to give away. We got stickers to give away here. Brett, here's a sticker for the show.
Thank you.
A souvenir to take home. Trivia question this week is about what we were just talking about.
TV.
David Bowie. So here's the question. It's about David Bowie. In particular, that classic duet he did with Bing Crosby. It's from the Bing Crosby Christmas special that you'll hear a bunch of times. In the opening part of that, when they're talking to each other, David Bowie mentions two other singers that he likes to listen to. One is John Lennon. Who is the other one? Does anybody know?
I believe I want to say that he says he listens to Bing.
No.
Okay.
Tom, do you have a guess?
I say he listens to Google.
Brent, do you have a guess? You get one guess.
I've seen the clip, but I just he says John Lennon and one other person.
Right.
What year is this?
I have no idea, but it's got to be because it's in color, so it's probably around 70, 71, I would say.
I mean,
long before you were born.
Did you say not that long? It says Dean Martin.
No. And I'll give you another hint, but you can't guess anymore. A hint for folks at home. He says, oh, I like a lot of the old stuff. I listen to John Lennon and the other one, with the one with the beard. And then he says the guy's name. So there's a hint for you. So I'm sure somebody will remember it. Write to me, paul@thekingoftv.com, and you get a prize. That's the trivia question for this week. So let's move on.
Oh, wait, really quick transition. This is from your trivia question Tom hasn't the thing he wants to have happen with that song, which I always find funny.
Well, I always think it would be funny if someone would record Peace on Earth, the other song that David Bowie was singing.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so not a song, because it's...
Oh, if it was just that, the drummer boy part, right. Someone just did a single, Peace on Earth, can it be?
Yeah, and then here was my idea.
Because they wrote this other little song, Peace on Earth, and he sang that while Bing was singing Drummer Boy. I just want someone to record Peace on Earth.
Why?
Also, like,
why do you want to ruin Christmas, Tom?
That's not ruining Christmas.
Also, I want somebody, I told this to Tom and he thought this was kind of funny. I think it would be funny for somebody to write and record the Transylvania Twist. Because we've heard about it for so many years.
Yeah, we want to know what happened to it.
Yeah, whatever happened to
it. Yeah, everyone's talking about the Monster Mash.
Do you even know what that is?
I know what the Monster Mash is.
In the middle of it, at some point, the
Dracula goes,
what happened to the Transylvania Twist?
That's funny.
It's now the Mash. Well, that's the problem. Someone wrote it, but it's now the Mash. All right, well, let's talk about Brent. Brent definitely wanted to talk about this.
Well, you sent me the link.
Yeah, because I sent the link and you read about it. But this is an awesome thing. In case you haven't heard about it, Dick Van Dyke, this has so many levels of awesomeness, I can't believe it. First of all, Dick Van Dyke, who's in his 80s, is out surfing. Already awesome.
Yeah.
Dick Van Dyke, who's in his 80s, is fucking surfing. That's great. And he falls asleep on his board, which is a very common thing that people do, apparently, and it's a big danger, because people think, oh, it's harmless, because you're out there on the waves, and you get relaxed, and you get tired, you think, oh, I'm going to take a nap. Next thing you know, you're all sunburned, and you're fucking miles and miles away from shore,
right.
And the Coast Guard has to rescue you, or you die. So, so it's a very common thing. But, so he was like, oh, shit, I got to paddle back. But then he sees a couple of fins in the water and thinks, oh, fuck, sharks are coming to eat me. This is terrible. But as they get closer, he realizes they're fucking porpoises, not sharks. So he feels better. So that's awesome because, you know, you're out there and you think this sucks. Oh, but here's a couple porpoises. Who doesn't love porpoises, right? Yeah. So at least you get to see porpoises, right? And they come and maybe he pet them. But to make this the best story ever, they push him towards shore. Like two porpoises push him on his surfboard in the direction of the shore and basically rescue him and save his life. How fucking awesomely awesome and crazy is that? That I mean, if I didn't I heard the story and thought that's fucking bullshit. That's completely made up. But it was on the news everywhere. And what I thought was so funny is clearly like he was out there like, oh fuck, I'm worried. And he's trying to paddle back and he's hoping he doesn't die. And two porpoises swim by. And they must see this all the time, right? They're like, oh, look at this dick fell asleep on his surfboard again. Ha ha. Because porpoises are too smart to fall for that. They would never do something like that. But as they swim by, one porpoise goes, hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the dude from fucking Mary Poppins? And they're like, huh? And they swim around. They're like, oh, shit, that is the guy from Mary Poppins. I love that movie. And the other porpoise goes, oh, his accent was shitty in it. But I love Bye Bye Birdie. He's great in that. And then one guy's like, oh, the porpoise. I forgot he was in that. He was great in Bye Bye Birdie. Let's fucking help him out. And the whole way in, they're talking. They're like, and remember the Dick Van Dyke Show? That was great, too. Who could ever forget? Yeah. Oh, remember Carl Reiner was great? And the whole fucking ride in.
He was an alcoholic for a while.
Yeah. They're having this conversation about Dick Van Dyke. And then they leave, and they fucking go off. And then I like to imagine they went back to their underwater cave and watched some Dick Van Dyke movies.
I like to imagine that after they pushed him to shore, they all executed a dance routine while Mary Poppins pretended to be above it all.
Well, that's my first question when you sent me the link and I read it was it verified that Julie Andrews was not present and that those purposes were not animated? And that, you know, that's like true. I immediately thought this sounds like Mary Poppins.
Which side of the chalk drawing are we on?
Yeah.
What I thought actually was the funniest thing to me is like when he got to shore and told everybody the story, I'm sure they all looked at each other and went, yeah, porpoises saved you, Dick. Did the drinky drinky motion with their hand. Okay, Dick. Yeah, porpoises saved you. Sure they did. Were they wearing bow ties and had trays? Sure, Dick.
All right. Whenever anybody brings up porpoises, I'm always reminded of the worst joke I've ever heard at an open mic.
Okay.
And I'll tell it It was Richard Weiss, who's actually a funny guy, but every now and then he just goes crazy. And the joke he told, he said, is, I got a friend who has a really big pool in his backyard, and he has a... he keeps a whale in his pool. And I'm like, what's the purpose of that? And that's the whole joke. And I'm like, I don't understand how that's even a joke.
No, it's not.
You crazy old man.
But I'm going to tag Rich Weiss so he listens and hears you say that.
And that'll violate our rule. If it's always nice. Nope, not always.
Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about was Charlie Sheen. And we discussed this before when Mike Schmidt was on the show, when Charlie Sheen got in trouble last time. And I was like, you know, how can I justify watching his show and stuff? And it really, this time it really bothered me a lot because, not because of his shitty behavior. That's, you know, that's beside the point. But in this case, it was really, it's really struck me as being a really anti-woman thing to do and a very misogynist thing. You know, he hired this woman to have sex with him and then fucking abused her and terrorized her. And it was, and really something not cool. And then I thought, and I watch his show with my daughters and we all laugh at his behavior, which is very similar to his behavior in real life.
Right.
And,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I, that's every time he gets in trouble, that's what I think. It's how is it, yes. How is the show still cute when
he, exactly.
When what he's doing is the non-cartoon version of that.
And I think, and I thought about, well, it's just like Mike said, you have to decide for yourself where the line is for you. And at this point, the line has been crossed and I erased 2.5 Men from my fucking, DVR and we no longer watch it in this house. And, you know, not like it's a big deal, but I think one of the kids asked me the other day, hey, is 2.5 Men still on? And I said no, because Charlie Sheen is a dick, and we don't watch him anymore.
It's like you're okay with using the word faggot, but not 2.5 Men is where you draw the line.
Well, my problem is that Charlie Sheen's a faggot.
He is a faggot.
He's such a fucking faggot. But now you guys, I assume you guys don't even watch 2.5 Men.
Well, they crossed the line by not being a very good show for me. So, see, and I know some people like the show. I just never liked it.
Not having cable, I watch a lot of things that I would rather be watching something else.
Yeah.
But so, like, so on weekend afternoons, I'll often turn the TV on, and 2.5 Men's the only thing that's not some stupid, like, reality show mm-hmm. produced by, like, a local channel.
Right.
So I've watched a few episodes, and it's not... What I found interesting is when I started watching it, I was seeing early episodes, and I'm like, this show's not nearly as bad as its reputation. And then,
right.
Then I saw a later one, and it was like everything people say it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly.
What it made, well, because it's like when the kid got older, they became more freer with, you know, with the shit that's offensive and made him one of, he's no longer a half man. He's just as bad as everyone else on that show now. He's not an innocent little kid. My problem, aside from the other thing, my biggest problem with it is, it's like fucking Alan, John Cryer, finally found a show. He won an Emmy for that show. He finally found a vehicle where he's really funny and really good in it, and Charlie Sheen's fucking it up for him. Now, you could argue that he wouldn't have the show if it weren't for Charlie Sheen, but still, that's not cool. And this kid just got this big paycheck. Angus, he just got this giant paycheck, you know, for being on the show, but... Eventually, they're going to look back and go, you know, we could have done that show for 5 more years if it wasn't for Charlie's bullshit.
Well, here's... How long has that show been on?
Like 5-6 years.
Is it a long...
longer.
Really?
I think it's long.
Okay. A long time.
Yeah. So I think I'm guessing on its last legs relatively years-wise. But you're right. It might get undercut as far as a couple years go. That's true.
How old is the kid on the show now?
Now he's like, well, he can drive, so he's like 16, 17 now.
Wow, so he actually is almost a man.
Right.
Like it's like three
men. And
like 7/8 men.
It's exactly yeah. what it is. 2 7/8 men.
But
is what
two, yeah, 2 7/8 men. But then once it reaches 3 men,
yeah.
the show's what do over. They
do? They'll get a or baby.
Right. They get a baby! Yes, that's perfect. And then the spinoff from that is that she becomes a 5-year-old girl.
So now it's 3.5. Yeah. It's 3 men and a half a girl.
And a little lady.
3 men and a little lady.
Oh, I'd okay. Say, yeah. I like that. Sure. I didn't see that coming.
That's actually... That's
and then she grows up, gets 2 roommates, and they hang out at a pizza place.
and then she decides to have a kid with one of them, but then she takes off, and then it's these 2 guys who have to raise 1 girl.
And what do they call it?
My 2 dads.
Ah, shit. And then that girl grows up, has a son, and then another son, and then they grow up, and then the one son has a kid, and they all live together, and it's called 2.5 Men. but everyone's forgotten about the first
I thought you were going to go in more directions. Like, I thought you were going to say she actually ends up marrying an alien and stuff, and then there's a situation with that.
An alien in the family?
An alien, and it's out of this world, or whatever the show was. Or I thought you were going to say this woman, she raises family, and then her, the main character, actually, that girl gets killed off the show, and it becomes Hogan family. From Valerie. It used to be Valerie's family. Her name is Valerie. And it's
they
call it the Hogan family.
I would love to know. I know a lot of you folks out there are like me, and you like to watch a lot of different TV, you know, whether it's good or bad. And, you know, you watch Two and a Half Men for the simple reason that it makes you laugh, which is why I watched it. And I would like to know your opinion on this thing, because it was, honestly, it was too much for me.
I'm sorry, what did he do?
He was just having a weekend with a hooker in a hotel, but something went wrong, which I'm sure would.
He couldn't find his wallet or something.
Yeah, he did too many drugs. He couldn't find his wallet. He called her a faggot.
She wasn't into that.
She wanted to leave. She wanted to leave. It was like time for her to go, and he locked her in the bathroom and wouldn't let her leave. And police had to be called. That was the problem.
I will say that Charlie Sheen.
That hookers deserve to be locked in rooms.
After you pay for the hour.
You got to get that money.
Here's what I say is, I do think his behavior is unfortunate, and it's a fine reason to not watch the show. However, I got to say, nothing is funnier than what he said about the night.
That was pretty awesome.
Because what he said is, he goes, "Oh man, a guy has one bad night and everybody loses their mind."
Well, the other great thing he said was, he's like in his car leaving and some guy happens to get him. And he goes, "Look, it was just, you know, I had a night with a prostitute and some things went wrong. And it's really not anything to worry about. You know, what you should be concerned about is tonight's episode of Two and a Half Men. It's my mom's birthday." That was great. But that's my biggest problem. As funny as that is, it's the fucking cavalier attitude he has toward his own horseshit behavior.
But you know
he
what?
Can't just I'm a fucking asshole.
I'm sort of down with his cavalier attitude. I wish his show wasn't for families, then I could enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, if his show was just same characters, hey, maybe same show, but horrific.
Well, yeah, not if it was cartoony version. If it was Louis, like Louis is a perfect example.
Should watch that.
A great show that I would never let my kids watch. It's a brilliant show, and he's even a good guy in the show. But he does horrible things, and other people on the show do horrible things, and it's not, you know, advertised as a family show with a kid on it, you know, and that's, and the fact that Two and a Half Men is, and that they want other kids to watch it, and again, I feel bad for that kid, because, you know, he's probably going to be done after the show anyways. He's probably going to quit.
I don't feel, the article I read, I don't feel too bad for him, because his money, apparently, there was an article I read about that kid.
Highest paid. He's like highest paid
and well-managed money. He's got a lot of money.
Hmm. Well, it's hard to these days not to manage.
Still, money. Yeah.
How old's your daughter? How's your daughter?
They're 9 and 12. Yeah. It's hard. SAG pretty much manages your money for you if you're under 18, so it's a done deal. Like, no matter, nobody can touch your money.
Emma Watson, is that her name from the Harry Potter series?
Yeah.
She said...
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What?
That he knew that.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, I just read this article I found interesting, because she said... I guess she had this epiphanous moment because she just didn't know she had that much money, because her money had been put away for her, but she just had no idea. And she suddenly, at some point, maybe she turned 18 or whatever, realized, I'm a billionaire, or whatever she is.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, it's literally like half of the money you make when you're under 18 goes into a trust, and literally nobody can touch it. It can't be touched by anyone.
Not even Hammer.
Not even Hammer can touch it. And they ask him not to. They ask him not to hurt it anyways. But then the money you are making that you get, if you're smart enough, you take that and you invest it and, you know, you do smart things with it. So then when you turn 18, you've already done smart things with the money you got.
But you get a savings account.
This trust is making a lot of money.
A lot of those will pay.
What do you know about a savings account?
No.
Are you going to cry? Maybe. Are you going to cry, baby, because you don't have a savings account? You're going to go home and cry?
I'm going to cry like a heterosexual.
Okay, well, that's all the topics I had. Wow, I had a lot of topics, and we talked for a long time. Anybody else got any topics?
Tom does.
What?
Bust out. There's only that thing you were talking about.
You're just messing with me now.
Yes.
For the first time in weeks, do you not have a topic?
No, because I wanted to talk about the Amber Tamblyn thing. We did. That was okay. Great.
What about you, Brent? Did you anything you wanted to get off your chest?
What's your beef?
Do
you have a beef?
I'm trying to think. Do I have any beef?
Yeah. First tell us where it is.
In my pants, I guess?
Oh, okay. So the beef's in your pants. That's good to know.
Meat. It's meat. I don't know if it's actually beef.
All right.
No, I don't know.
That's a good question. You know how chicken that you eat is poultry, cow that you eat is beef, pig that you eat is pork. What would they call humans that you eat, human meat that you eat? What do they call that?
Illegal.
Soylent Green, right?
Flesh. Well, Soylent Green is people, but it's not meat.
I have heard the term human steak, but that's urban legend anyway, so.
Chow.
They call it chow.
I don't know, or yeah. Grub.
There's got to be something. Well, like in the zombie stores when they go. Here's a question I had about zombies. I watched Dead Set. I don't know if you guys have saw it, but it was good, and you should watch it. But here's my question.
What's it called?
Dead Set. The premise is it's set in England, and the only people who survive are people who are in the Big Brother house, because of course they're in the Big Brother house.
Dead Set.
Okay. It's a zombie story in England, but it's set around the Big Brother house. And it's really good because they got, like, the host of Big Brother England in it. She turns into a zombie, starts eating people. And the only people left alive are the people in the house who eventually have to be told, yes, there's a bunch of zombies out there, and they got to figure out what to do. And it's a miniseries. It's, like, 6 episodes. So it's really good.
So you really want immunity because you don't want to go out.
Well, they kind of give up the show.
I like the idea if they kept doing that, though.
But here's the cool thing is at one point one of the zombies goes and gets knocked into the jacuzzi in the backyard. And even though they're just in a jacuzzi, they're in there flailing around because they can't swim. Because, of course, they're zombies. They don't know how to swim. And they realize that's how we beat them. They're dumb. We're smart. And at one point they realize the safest place is in the channels to travel in the English Channel, because of course zombies wouldn't, they might go in the water, but they'd immediately drown.
And they never win a challenge, those zombies will never win a challenge, right?
But the other thing is, I was thinking about this with all the zombie shows on now, if you become a zombie, when do other zombies no longer want to eat you? Like if you die, a zombie will eat your dead body. But when do the zombies decide, oh no, no, I don't want this anymore? At what point do the zombies go, yuck, I don't want this anymore?
You know, in Iceland, there's a specialty that's years-old rotted shark.
Uh-huh.
So it could be years until a zombie, like...
So is it until so maybe it could become a
specialty. It could become a specialty. Oh, I thought you meant, like, when did your body go bad?
No. I mean, when do the zombies say... Because the zombie will eat rotten meat. Because the zombie will eat a dead cow, a dead bird, dead dog... They don't care. They just want meat. They'll
like
eat it rotten,
salad
whatever.
Sometimes. Oh,
no,
first,
meat.
First.
No, meat. Not a salad. Meat only.
A lot of times
they'll pick
coffee.
The meat out of a salad. And
love coffee afterwards.
No, only if it's coffee's. Meat coffee.
Yeah.
So, but when do the zombies stop eating a person? Like, because I've seen a lot of zombie movies, obviously. And like in Shaun of the Dead, they don't die and then become zombies. They get sick, and then the next thing you know, they're zombies. So there's no downtime. The zombies never want to eat a dead person. They only want to eat a live person. But on The Walking Dead, they make it clear. You get the disease, you die, and then a few days later, you come back as a zombie. So while you're a dead body, will the other zombies eat you? Or do they only want to eat people who are alive? And now what about other movies like Dawn of the Dead, where you immediately turn into a zombie when you die? You know, like you get... In that movie, people get bit...
I think they'll probably eat some of you, and as long as the zombie that starts to eat your decomposing body isn't an Indian, you'll become a zombie. Because an Indian zombie will eat all of the body. Am I right? They don't waste any of it.
Native American.
My apologies.
But I might be wrong because I haven't seen the movie in a long time, but I think there's a scene in Dawn of the Dead where the zombies are eating this dude, and right. He's screaming, and they stop screaming, and then a couple seconds after that, the zombies get up and walk away, and he's now a zombie.
Well, it's pretty clear then. I guess, as soon as you turn into a zombie, they're not edible
there
anymore.
There seems to be something about the infection that other zombies can sense, and they're not
Well, because
in you.
They don't
they only
eat
can eat fresh
rotted,
meat, or like live meat. Meat. They like yeah. live meat.
Live meat that's not infected with the zombie virus.
And coffee at the end.
So,
like, they couldn't eat theirself, or that would be cannibalism.
Zombie cannibalism? That's terrible. But so, like, the lady...
If they could
let's
eat
talk
themselves,
about
the zombie would never leave the house,
lady. Exactly, yeah.
Am I right? If a zombie could eat itself...
I'm ignoring you now. It's taken over 200 episodes, but now I'm finally ignoring you. The zombie... The half-zombie lady in the first episode of Walking Dead.
And she was half black, half zombie.
Half black, half zombie, right. Now, she clearly got eaten.
Now, what joke does she write for her stand-up?
We already said this. She's half black and half zombie, which means, oh, well, she'd have to be a dude, but I would say she has a giant dick, but somebody ate it off.
Is that what the joke is for that?
I guess, if you're a dude.
I don't want to see that, comedian. I'm not a fan.
So here's my thing. Obviously, zombies ate her lower half, and then she turned into a zombie. Did they stop eating her, or were they interrupted? Or, you know, do they stop eating her because she turned into a zombie while they were eating her from the toes down? What happened there, Tom?
You know what happened, actually, I think?
What, Brent?
I think that what happened is that it's not real. It's fantasy.
Right.
So it doesn't.
Here's my question.
Why are you that guy? Why do you have to be that guy?
There's another possibility, which is that during all the chaos of the zombie outbreak, she suffered some kind of catastrophic accident and was cut in half and then became a zombie.
And that's... Oh, that's sad.
So, yeah. And her bottom half...
Now, here's my question.
Just no legs kicking.
If the undead are in Ireland or at, say, a state fair and they see the cranberries, will they eat them?
I don't get that joke.
The song is called. Do you not?
I don't get it, but because I'm not a fan of crappy music.
Oh, take that, right down cranberries.
No, because I don't want them to hear
it. Oh, because you said a bad thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's more of a diss of Jim.
Yeah, I like the cranberries.
I like that first hit of theirs, you know, and then I wasn't crazy about the rest of it. Definitely don't tag them. I don't want to get... No, they're all right.
What about
they're
the Lawrence O'Riordan? Should I tag her?
Yes.
No, I mean, in the, not like have sex with her. Because I would have sex with her.
Really? Because you're very picky.
They have a song called Zombie, just so you know.
Would you have sex with Zombie Dolores O'Riordan?
Well, I'd stop once she transformed.
Do you guys think zombies are hot because you're into zombie movies? Like zombie girls?
No.
Yeah.
Because that's, the opening of Zombieland, there's that scene in the credits. The zombie stripper is chasing the dude and her tits are flying everywhere. Of course, I thought that was awesome because it was naked giant tits. But I thought it was also hilarious because, boy, zombie stripper. I mean, when do you finally get up and run? You know, like she's naked and she's dancing.
What time, by the way?
She's a zombie. So it's
now,
like,
here's my question, though. So I understand... During the fucking daylight hours, if you decide to go to the CD strip club, it's because you're going to see the B team. What fucking hour is it, zombies? How fucking... Because, you know, okay, so now you're going during the day. These are girls on meth with a lot of daddy issues. Fuck, what time is it for zombies? And I bet the lap dance is really, really cheap.
Yeah, well, I would think they'd want to give you a lap dance. All right.
Do you guys think zombies are scary?
Only the fast ones. Oh. Slow zombies are not scary to me, but fast ones are.
Like, do you think about
like
28 zombies?
Days later zombies.
Do you think about zombies sometimes and just get scared?
No.
No.
I don't
think I do, no. Mm-hmm.
You know my favorite line, speaking of zombies, my favorite line from that house episode was when they broke into that guy's house and she wouldn't go in, Amber Tamblyn wouldn't go in, and Tob goes, what are you, a vampire? Do you need to be invited in? That made me laugh.
Do you guys like to be scared?
Yeah.
Sure.
Who doesn't like to be scared?
I don't.
Are you going to rip off your face a la Dan Aykroyd in the Twilight Zone right
something
now?
Really scary?
Please don't.
Yes. But then I actually, like, just unzip my pants or something like that.
And show us the beef.
Yeah, the beef. But no, I don't like
to be
scared.
And by that I mean Shia LaBeouf.
I don't like to be scared, actually, at all.
Really?
I went to a haunted house 2 years ago, and I remembered why I hadn't been in a haunted house in 15 years.
Because you
had
died in the last one and you didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about haunted houses.
It was a twist ending is why.
I like to go to a haunted house where it's like crazy spooky shit and guys screaming and it's scary. But I don't like the haunted houses where you go around a corner and some guy goes, blah, and grabs you. That's fucking terrible. I could make this a haunted house by doing that. Now.
One thing that's really disturbing about haunted houses is that I think it was like that. All right. I don't know how, like, I don't know if you're like how you are about this, but people don't even know what we're talking about right now.
No, and they won't.
Okay. No, but you know, like what happened at this haunted house I went to a couple years ago was just that, okay, they just come up, you even if you see them coming, they don't touch you, you know, but they get really close to you and they don't leave you alone either.
Yeah.
They stay on you for a while. Like they let only a certain amount of people in at a time so that each, you know, the cast members can stay on you and do work on you. And that's just really disturbing, like chemically in your body, you know, like that there's someone in your personal space and they won't leave. And they're disturbing images as well at the same time, you know?
I went to a haunted house this year with a couple friends, and they had a section that was actually just completely pitch black, and you just had to feel your way around. And luckily, nobody jumped out at you or anything, but just it was completely pitch black, and you had to feel your way through. And I was like at the back of my group, so I just put my hand on the shoulder of the person in front of me.
Yeah.
If it had been just me, because like in complete darkness, I'm always afraid I'm going to just walk into something. If I'd been in front, it would have taken us like 15 minutes to get through that hallway.
See, I try to make sure I'm in the middle, you know, because I'm just so scared. Especially, it's like, you know, for one thing, the shock thing too, like you're saying, you could do it, you could just jump out and shock me.
Right.
Your body has a natural, like, chemical reaction where it disturbs the body and it disturbs you.
Sure.
There's that, there's the imagery, and then there's in your face and they won't leave you alone. And I was like, a third of the way through, I was so done with it. I really wanted to get out and just I wanted to exit. I was like, I'm done. It made me just physically, like, disturbed, and I even hours after the haunted house, I was like, I'm still shaken up about this haunted house.
Well, you know what's interesting?
This is the valley, actually, here.
So now I'll actually think about your question more, and it occurs to me that what I like more, I don't necessarily like to be scared so much. The movies that I like are more thrillers than I like horror films. Mm. But when it comes right down to it, all the dramas, all the films that you like, all art forms replicate a human experience, right? So, like, if you like romantic comedies or you like sad movies, you like comedies, it's all replicating human emotion, human experience. And, yeah, I could see not liking something so primal as fear, but then the people who are into it, I get it.
Sure.
Just because it is such a primal part of our... when I had...
People are just masochistic, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had an allergic reaction to tree nuts, and I had to be given all kinds of chemicals to stay alive. And one of the things they gave me was adrenaline. And so my fight or flight instinct was keyed up. And I wanted to get the fuck out of there, but there was nothing to fight or run from just because it was just the chemical. And I actually loved that experience. And I wouldn't typically have loved that, but it was also fascinating. So I understand why why people like it.
I thought you were going to say that I had an allergic reaction to, what did you say, tree nuts?
Tree nuts,
tree nuts. And it just was really painful for my body, but I was into it. I kept eating nuts and stuff. It had this chemical reaction in my body. Well, I was into it.
One thing that is true psychologically is that one form of excitation easily becomes another form of excitation. So like if you could see a movie, I think some people, they have that experience, they get scared, but then that immediately becomes like laughter or amusement or whatnot. They don't hold on to the sensation of fear.
Well, and I mean, well, you know, films are different than the haunted house because, I mean, the haunted house, the guy, there's a real person like in your face, you know, and they won't leave you alone.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Even though they're not really trying to harm you, they are real.
Well, I had this other thought, actually, and I don't even know if this could be turned into a bit or something, but like, are they as aggressive towards, like, gangsters and stuff? Like, you know, there's obviously, like, gangster kind of guys that go in there with their girlfriends or whatever.
Universal Studios, and, for sure.
Yeah, so, like, are people, the cast members who are supposed to do that, like, they're not, I just can't imagine them being that, you know, that aggressive towards a gangster. Cause
risking getting punched in the face.
Yeah, the gangster will beat them up or shoot them or something, you know?
I think they, you know, they concentrate on the women because they want to get them to scream because it adds to the ambiance.
Well, then the other thought I had was that what would be scarier than, like, zombies or whatever in a haunted house is actually just a haunted house full of gangsters. Like, that aren't even zombies. They're just real gangsters. It's not even haunted, actually. It's just a gangster house. And they're just going up to you, intimidating you and stuff. And they don't touch you, but they just just intimidate. Actually, a crack house would be so scary. That'd be worse than a haunted house because it seemed more realistic and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, a guy comes out at you
and he looks kind of like a zombie and you're like, oh no, it's crack and meth. He just looks shitty.
He's the crackhead.
He just doesn't have a lot of teeth.
You guys ever been through Montana?
I was born in Montana.
Oh, no kidding. Whereabouts?
Helena, Montana.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've been all through there. There's all these anti-meth posters. More than anti-meth stuff than anywhere I've seen. I guess it's big there or was or whatever. But there's a lot of like sayings like meth, don't let it in you, and it had like a billboard of from Dead Alive that is like opening a mouth and there's like a thing inside, like
there
something like that. Or
Montana's weird. Like I didn't grow up there, but I was born there and I spent summers there, and some of it is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And and I would be there with my family, and there's a part of my family, relatives of my family, who apparently have money, and they're apparently the part of the family we never kept in contact with because we're all brilliant. But there was this boathouse, and it was so beautiful. Like, everything was so beautiful. And yet, I have never been anywhere where I heard the N-word constantly used exactly the way it's usually used. And, like, would just – and meet, like, people on the road who had – a nice tract of land, but don't go on it because they're fucking crazy hillbillies with guns and, like, cliches, like, there. It was strange. It was strange to me that it was so lovely and it was that. But I had a similar experience when I did this short film in Utah where it was like, oh, this is beautiful, and everybody I'm meeting is fucking nuts. Mm. And not that, of course, there's wonderful people there, too, but none of the people I was meeting.
Well, it's kind of like the David Lynchian situation where there's, like, it looks so nice, and if you look closer or go beyond that surface, you see like all this weirdness and just messed upness. And that's what Twin Peaks is all about, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and it takes place right around there too, you know. That's the trees and
look deeper.
Yeah, it was my brother would like sometimes.
That's a show I'd seen some of the episodes, but I just finally got through every episode.
Really, the whole thing. And did you watch the movie?
I saw the movie first a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
And then...
First 15 minutes of that movie is pretty damn good.
First 15 minutes is the only part worth watching.
I like the whole thing.
You do?
And actually, speaking of being scared, that's, I think, the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life, actually. Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me.
The thing that scared me the most, and not kidding, is the cartoon version from Disney of The Headless Horseman. But it was, of course, because when I saw it, it impacted me. And then I've watched it as an adult, and I'm able to just kind of recreate that feeling in myself. I don't think I'm really afraid. It's just that I remember it and I can recreate that and enjoy it that way. Because for some reason it was very impactful.
I mean, Twin Peaks is just so scary. Some of it is so scary. I mean, just especially in the Fire. Specifically in Fire Walk With Me. Like, actually, in the first 15 minutes, that the scene where the old woman comes in there in the trailer all of a sudden and leaves, you know, that that she had the ice pack on her back, that's so scary.
The part that freaks me out is that first part is when David Bowie keeps going back.
That's scary too. Yeah.
And then he sees himself looking at himself. That's fucking great.
That's really scary.
Oh, if you were, it just occurred to me because like it really does scare me, the Headless Horseman. But then I imagine if I were on a dark road and it was all dark and I was like, it's all scary, but suddenly that music started playing, because that's all singing through the scariest part. I don't think that would scare me in real life if there was just suddenly a very musical.
Okay, well, we'll try that out.
All right.
Before we wrap it up,
that'll be our haunted house
next year. Before we wrap it up, Brent, tell people where they, if they've enjoyed your comedy here on the show, where they can get more of that.
You mean like upcoming shows, kind of thing?
Yeah, or if there's you have a web presence,
website or MySpace page. There's dates and Facebook page. And
do you want to tell people what that website is?
BrentWeinbach.com.
Okay. BrentWeinbach.com.
MySpace.com/BrentWeinbach. YouTube.com/BrentWeinbach.
Are you on the Facebook?
Facebook, Brent Weinbach.
There you
go. And also, speaking of podcasts, I just started doing a podcast of my own.
There you go.
Called The Legacy Music Hour. It's not really comedic, but it's about video game music. The whole show is about, specifically
cool,
from the 8-bit and 16-bit era. And so it's about that, and we just
very niche.
Showcase. Actually,
it's called the Legacy Music Hour.
Legacy Music Hour and LegacyMusicHour.com is where you can find it. And we have two episodes up so far. We're recording a third one tonight, and today is my podcast day.
Who do you do that with?
A guy named Rob F. Martinez.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's a comedian as well, and yeah, you can find out about dates that way and stuff like that.
I will also tag Rob Martinez.
Rob F.
Maybe I'll tag F. Rob Martinez.
You know what the F stands for.
What?
What do you think?
Fernando? All right. So, Jim, You got a hilarious mashup for us?
No, no, but I'll do one.
All right.
Let's do this. All
let's
right.
Let's do this.
I've got so many choices of horrificness. I'll start with this one. Hopefully it'll work. But, you know, Oprah, it's great to be back on the show. People come to me and they got their problems and say, I can't talk to my dad. What are you doing now? You're talking. I don't want to hear all that BS. Now, Oprah, give me that paperclip. Quick. We only got like 2 minutes. Okay, now, Oprah, give me that sponge. All right. We've only got one more minute.
Terrible.
Hold on.
Horrible.
Oh, you know the answer?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what it
really?
Is. It's fucking horrible.
Well, oh, gosh. Wait, like, how many... Do we get guesses?
Sure.
Yeah, like, you can guess.
No, I just... Okay, this is what I thought at first. First, I thought you were doing, like, a Bill Cosby impersonation. Like, Bill Cosby voice. Because, like, thank you, Oprah, for having me on the show. Like, first I thought that. Now, then I started thinking, like, there's some sort of MacGyver reference.
There you go.
Okay, half of it. Right, okay, there. So, like, there's MacGyver. And then, but Oprah is involved. Is Oprah, like, integral to the...
No.
Okay, no. So...
It's mainly who he was. He was. You got half of it. Half
something
of it
about his dad. Something of the dad. I'm not connecting with the dad.
Well,
talking
you got
to the dad
it, right?
Thing.
Dr. Phil MacGyver?
Nope.
Wait,
nope.
Wait.
What was
wait, hold on.
It's Dr. Phil MacGruber.
Okay.
What an asshole.
Okay.
See, because Dr. Phil's last name was McGraw, which
yeah,
you shouldn't
okay,
know.
Yeah.
But Dr. Phil McGraw, Dr. Phil MacGyver. But,
all right.
But I didn't get the MacGruber part. How was it MacGruber? It didn't blow up.
It was about to.
What was the talking to the dad thing?
That's something Dr. Phil says.
But why? Yeah. Okay, so why was it on Oprah, though?
Because he's on Oprah a lot.
Oh, yeah. Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's how he started off.
Oh, okay.
Also,
okay.
You got to keep in mind, a lot of these are terrible.
No. I like this game. Can you do one more?
Yeah, I'll do
okay.
one more.
I know. Okay. I like this game, but I just, the more contemporary references, I
this
don't
is
know
not
as
a game,
well as
right.
I think.
Mr. Capone, what do you hear about this thing where they're going to break your hold on a city and get rid of liquor? Well, I've heard a lot of this talk. Apparently I'm Jewish, but don't guess that, because that's not right. I've heard a lot about this guy coming in who's going to clean up the city. Frankly, I haven't even seen him. I see one blurry photo of him in the Chicago River, and everybody says he's going to clean up the city, but I don't believe it. Yeah. But I swear to God, a guy said that he saw the detective in the river, and that he was going to clean up Chicago.
No, Tom got it now.
That's pretty good.
Oh, no.
So he was going to clean up the city. We saw a picture, and I think we saw a picture of him, and we thought it was a gun. It turned out later on it was just a float. But I swear to God, we thought we saw it. Well, what do you have to say about it? You guys are crazy. This detective doesn't even exist. I'm kind of tired of this coming up every couple
okay,
years.
Do you have any idea, Brent? What
I mean,
the two things are.
It has one of them is something about the guy who's going to clean up the streets.
And what was his name? He took down Al Capone in Chicago, the Untouchables.
The Chicago
it's
way.
Kevin Costner.
Right, but what was that?
Your yes. name is Kevin Costner.
But he played Elliot Ness. Right, that was the guy's name, Elliot Ness.
And then...
So the other thing he's talking about is this blurry photo of something in the river. And
hold on.
Some people say he doesn't even exist.
So it's like Sasquatch or it's like... Elliot Ness?
Right.
Elliot Nessfoot? No, Elliot Nessfoot?
Yep.
Big
no,
Ness?
He's
Big
in
Ness?
The river. In the he looked river. Like a dinosaur. Some people say he doesn't exist. It's
Yeti.
Like Bigfoot.
Elephant.
But he's not Bigfoot. It's a different urban myth. It lives
Loch
in the river.
Wait. What's the guy's name again?
Elliot
Ness Monster. Elliot Ness Monster.
Close to
Elliot Ness Monster.
What is it actually?
Elliot Loch Ness Monster.
No.
Elliot Nessie.
Okay. Elliot Nessie.
Elliot Nessie.
These are fun.
That was a good one. Why didn't you do that one first?
Well, because I want to do the shitty one. So here's the other one that was going to be, I swear to God, I thought I saw a glass of chocolate milk. I took a picture of it, but it wasn't there. I don't even think chocolate milk exists. That was the other one I thought of.
The Loch Nessley monster?
Yeah, Elliot Nessley quick.
Oh, okay.
Wait, where's the Elliot part in that?
Oh, Jesus, I'm glad I didn't do that. I got confused just now.
It would be the Loch Nessley monster.
Loch Nessley.
Or Nestle.
The Loch Ness quick.
That's quick, right?
Because I got myself confused is what I did.
All right, before we go, I want to remind everybody about Movember. You know, Jim and myself and other people are growing mustaches.
Paul said something hysterical, by the way, because we're growing this for Movember to raise awareness of cancer and to raise money. Not really awareness. I think people know about cancer. But to raise money to help cure cancer, go to Movember.com. Paul said this to me the other day. He goes, so what, you just started growing yours today? This is all month.
Jim's no good. But go to my Facebook page, and there's places there where you can donate money to the Movember. Even $5 helps. So whatever you can donate to me.
$4 doesn't.
That's really all month?
Yeah.
To me and people on my team. That's it. Go to BrentWeinbach.com.
We heard a lot about Movember this year.
Is there anything you're promoting, by the way?
The Legacy Music Hour.
LegacyMusicHour.com, the podcast.
Okay, good.
Podcast.
Shows? And,
I mean, when does this come out?
It'll be up tonight.
Okay, Thursday at the Laugh Factory, if anybody's interested. It's a free show. Email me if you want to get in.
There you go. Email Brent at Laugh Factory. And what's your email?
Brent@BrentWeinbach.com.
Oh, there you go. That's pretty easy. All right. Anything else?
No, sir.
All right, good. Just under 2 hours. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, that can be my stage name. Go fuck yourself.
All right. Well, I'm glad I did the Elliot Ness thing.
King to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum. Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. Our see the day of glory. See the day in peace. Living peace. So peace on earth. When we come. Pretty thing, isn't it?